But let me tell you this, sort of a prologue to the message. I do have a slide point up here that Mike will have to click into it once he gets Audacity going. And this is, in addition to the message, it's sort of like what's happening now, sort of a GPS thing, you know, global positioning system. This is a God positioning system here. I have honestly, we've been here for 23 years in February. I can honestly say I have never seen so many people, probably 90% plus, not an exaggeration, probably higher, that is having challenges like they've never had in their family, in immediate family or extended family. It's, if you're not, just thank God, it's the exception. But I've never seen so much counseling needed, so much going on, working out problems and situations. So, for all of that to be happening at one time, obviously, I mean, there's attacks of the devil, but this is different. Most of them, not all of these situations, are problems that have been there for years and years and decades, and we just overlooked it or ignored it. It was not a big deal. But we're in a time of the Lord turning us into the bride and making us pure, healthy souls, healthy bodies, healthy spirits. It's everywhere. So, if you're dealing with spouses or kids or nephews or nieces that we all need Jesus, but it's just gone to a new level, you're exactly where you need to be.
Right. Amen.
You're exactly where God wants you to be, and there's a grace to overcome these things and put right. Well, it was okay 6 months ago. It really wasn't okay. He was just working on something else. And He's wanting to bring more potential into your life, more fulfillment into your life, and your extended family. Because your covenant with the Lord extends to some degree to people around you. He does not force you. He does not... You know, there is free will. But when people walk with you as you walk with God, and some of it is us that need to change, He is trying to make us whole. Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. So just hang on. It's not fun. It's not easy. But He never brings you to a place or causes something to come up that there's not an anointing or grace and wisdom to get into it. Now, it's very, very small percentage, almost zero, of people I see just continuing to ignore it and hoping it goes away or they're outlasted. It's not going to happen. So just submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, where do I need to change? How can I pray for others? Or else you will be crushed by it. When God leads you into something, He's wanting to give you victory over it. If we run away, that will be, in that area of our life, the stronghold. And that's what I mean by crushing you. It's not going to, like, kill you. But there's times to move forward. So wherever it's at, you know, as many people in here, as nieces, nephews, marriages, whatever... It is God right now is trying to reposition you into a new system. And that's with Him. And so just get encouragement from your small groups. Get encouragement from whoever you're friends with. And just say, we're going to get whole in Jesus' name. Do what we need to do.
Yes.
If you shove it under the rug, it will consume you.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Does that make sense? We're faith people here and positive at the same time. Just being cognizant of what God's doing.
Right.
And everybody just keep pushing. He'll give you the glory. It may take 1 month. It may take 10 years. It doesn't matter. But we're standing here to make a difference and exit this world whole. Amen?
Hallelujah.
All right. All right. We've been doing a series called Six Core Beliefs for Every Christian. We talked about the first one. Called A Good Father. We spent 3 weeks on it. How many of y'all enjoyed the panels?
Amen.
Yeah, with Chad and Mr. Phillips here. That was fun. Then we talked about extravagant worship. That panel was fun with I can't ever remember people's names. Sean, Jan, Mike. That was a good time. Today we're going to go to the third one. And like the other ones, who knows how long it'll take us through it. But I'll show you all six here so you know where we're going. We're about the Father, a good Father. We're about worship, extravagant worship. We're about a disciple, burning disciples. That means passionate disciples, excited disciples. We'll start that today. Then we're going to talk about, that sort of washed out a little bit. Every one of you has a mission. It's the Father's mission. Amen. And about family, I can't wait till we get to that. He's changing the whole paradigm of a church from just an organization to a family. Amen. And then the future is great. Yes. And it's not just the future. Some of it is bringing it into now. Yeah. Amen. We're not just waiting. We're doing it. Amen. So let's talk about a burning disciple. We're going to talk about three things that a disciple is. It's maybe a little bit different than your normal list. We'll pick these things up. Intimate, imitate, and identity. If you hear my teaching much, I like all the things always starting with the same letter. Weird, who knows, some kind of OCD thing. But maybe it'll help you remember it. Matthew 28:18. You notice I didn't blame it on God and say it was some heavy-duty, revy, whatever. It's just Craig. Maybe He gives them to me. I'll let You be that judge. Then Jesus, this is at the end, the Great Commission. He's at the end of His 3 years of ministry. He's 33. He's fixing to go to the cross. Familiar verse if you've been a Christian for very long. NIV, it said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, and teaching them, we need teachers, amen. We love the office of teaching. But it says everybody should be able to teach. One of the qualifications of an elder and a deacon in Timothy and Titus is being able to teach. And teaching them to obey some of the things I have commanded you. I was just seeing which one was paying attention. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love verse 19. It says, go and make disciples. You know, the word Christian was not even used by Jesus. The word came in later. When Jesus talked about converts, He talked about making disciples. And there's a movement in the church now to, obviously we need converts, so I'm not downplaying that, but we don't end there.
That's right. Amen.
The Scripture's real clear, especially in James. It says, if you've been a convert, it will show by you being a disciple. And a lot of the reformers wanted to get rid of James because they wanted to make sure that salvation was by grace and by faith, and it is. But James is very clear, if you're saved, there ought to be evidence of it being saved. And evidence is doing the best you can to obey everything I commanded you. Christian was used later by secular pagan people. They called that group over there, when Christianity started spreading around the world, they would identify them. I mean, they didn't have like the first relationship church of Corinth. Or the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. They didn't have that. They just said, there's a group of people over there. And they're Christians, which mean Christ followers. Or little Christs, little Jesuses. What a compliment.
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great at your work? Somebody goes, man, I got problems. Well, go see Joseph over here. He's a little Jesus. He can help you.
Hallelujah.
But what they said was, what Jesus said was, make disciples. The word disciple is very, very clear. Yeah, it's discipline.
That's right.
They have disciplined themselves to something. And disciple is almost such a church word these days that we play it off. But what you know, it doesn't really mean anything. But when we say we're a disciple, it means we're a disciplined follower of something. You can be a disciple of Buddha. You can be a disciple of whoever. But what we're talking about here is being a disciplined follower of Jesus.
Amen.
Even 2,000 years later.
Yes, sir.
And so, let's talk about this. I put down three characteristics of disciples You could put a zillion here. There's a long list. But I tried to sort of go up one level and abstract it some, you know, or else we could come up a list. They always go to church. They always read their Bible. They worship. They do this and that. And that, there's some validity to that. But I want to abstract that a little bit. And I think one of the most important characteristics is this first one of intimate. Let me put these. I got three things we're going to talk through here real quick. If you can follow from afar, but He wants us to follow closely. Following afar, here's an illustration. There's a pastor in Northern California called Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. You know, out of that church has come Bethel Music, it's come Jesus Culture, it's come a lot of things. Probably, I've listened to him, I don't know, the last 8 years, every sermon he's ever done at Bethel, I've listened to. So we're talking a lot.
Wow.
And I've probably learned as a teacher more from him than any other teacher. Just that season of life that he does. But I've never met the man. I've seen him in conference in person in a crowd of 500, but I've never met the man. So I'm a disciple of him, you know, take that, or he's mentored me from afar. If we're not careful, that's how Christianity often is portrayed. Here's the rules, here's the regulations, follow them. I follow a lot of Bill Johnson's teachings, but I don't know him. That's better than nothing. But in Christianity, if we just follow those rules from afar, it takes the joy and the fun and the life out of Christianity and makes it just something we do. It makes it just a relationship. He wants us, as we'll see and imitate, He wants us to imitate Him, to live like Him, but He first wants intimacy with us. And out of that comes a much better disciple that's doing it out of relationship instead of to get brownie points.
Amen.
I remember I was praying. I was out here in the lobby. There's nobody else in the building. I was praying, Lord, and that's what I did a lot. I said, Lord, you're the head of the church. What do you want me, how do you want me to lead this church under you? See, I pray that all the time. Because it's His church. I'm responsible to Him how the church is led.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And He just came in real quiet. And He's always, He does with me, just short. He doesn't speak paragraphs to me. Maybe He does to you. And He said, you know, Craig, you're one of the best servants I have. Or you're a great, I maybe didn't say the, said the best anyway. You're a great servant. And you always do what I say. Mm. I was pleased with that.
Yeah.
But how do you know when he starts singing that? You see the setup's coming.
Yeah.
Said, you always do what I say. And I'm pleased with that. But you know, sometimes you can just come and talk to me and don't just come to get orders. That's heavy. Well, at least it was for me.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, that blew me away. I didn't even think of that. And I was just stunned. And finally, after a few minutes, I said, yeah, you're right. I never just come just to talk to you. I'll talk to the Holy Spirit or talk to him, but never to Him. I just come get orders from Him. And so that has set me on a course. I don't know how far I've gotten along in it. But I've tried to get better. I've tried to do the Southern small talk thing in a good Christian way. How are you doing today? Or whatever. You know, I don't want to minimize that. And try to spend more time just talking to Him and just sharing my day than getting orders. And I tell you, there's so much more life in the relationship now. What if you just went and talked to your spouse and the only time you talk to them is to get orders? Yep. Or your kids come to you and the only time they can come talk to you is to get orders. Well, that sounds weird, doesn't it? But we do that often in Christianity. And we forget, you know, He saved us for a relationship. Chris Vallotton, he's got a phrase that is great. I repeat it a lot. He says, In normal Christianity, he says the church should be like this. And this is how it is with our relationship with God too. You should belong first. Come say. Then you learn to believe. This is real. And then you behave. Belong, believe, behave. But he says most Christianity, and I know I'm tempted to this, you first behave, and then you believe right, then you get to belong. That's good, isn't it? He says you're part of the family. And learn to believe it. And then out of that, behaving comes out of it.
Greg, say that again, man.
Well, it was Chris's quote. We're supposed to belong, believe, then behave. And then it's flipped in traditional church. And you think about it, this is the natural pattern. Those of you, most of you have kids. When they came into the world, they came in whether they behaved or not. They didn't even know how to behave. They belong to you whether you wanted them or not. And then they start believing, in my case, when they get older. What's your name? Oh, my name is Abigail's over here. She's 22 now. So, but, you know, as little, she'd start learning how to say Abigail. And that's a little hard name for a two-year-old, Abigail, or whatever it was. And then after a while, she can say her last name. And she starts getting identity. That's the believing, belonging, believing, starting to get identity. I'm a Cooper. Whether she wants to be or not, it's really not the question. And as she gets older, she learns how to behave in the Cooper family. See, the key, though, is relationship comes first. Now, this is what... listen to this. God is speaking all of the time. We teach in the first part of the discipleship journal or the growth journal, we teach on how to hear the voice of God. But it's... why? Because you need to learn to be intimate to begin with. We don't start with doctrine, we start with relationship. And it's really not that hard. God is speaking all of the time. The issue almost always is us, are we listening? Are we willing to listen? Busyness is the enemy of intimacy. My wife, poor wife, she's asked for like 2 weeks to get a date. It's all my fault because I'm being so busy doing other stuff. So what's the enemy of intimacy? Busyness. Now, it's not, in Christianity, it's not necessarily busyness of circumstances. Jesus was busy. Now, he did pull off a lot. So it's not necessarily busyness of circumstances, although that is a factor. You can be busy in circumstances. The key is how busy is your heart in the circumstances. So you can listen to the Lord. It can be busy all around you, but is there peace in your heart? It can be loud around you. Just don't be loud in you. Protect that peace. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That is good. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. My basic premise is if Christians come in here or somebody's a new Christian and only have one meeting with them or one lesson for them for the rest of their lives, for whatever reason, the lesson I'm going to teach them is how to slow down, guard the peace in your heart, and learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. If you can do that, there's so much more I know, but that's the basic tools that will guide you through the rest of your life.
Yes, sir.
If you'll learn how to do that, He'll get you there and get you in that part. Your life depends on hearing His voice, not following just what He does. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, which is the Word of God, but on every word that also comes, that comes from the mouth of God. He's always speaking. He's speaking in His Word. He's speaking in that. And so I just challenge you, wake up in the mornings and go on this talk and the study part. When was the last time I just talked to Him? And if it's been 2 or 3 days, don't do anything else till you start doing that. It's too, we want habits in our life. We want rituals in our life. It produces good stuff. But one of those habits or rituals needs to be still and know that I am God. And just talk to Him. And it'll make all the difference in the world.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Talk to Him regularly. Study. I think this goes without saying, but be a continual learner. Studying includes hearing His voice. It includes reading His Word. The Word, you need the Word. Because there's lots of weird ideas about who God is out there. And not all of some of those weird ideas are God because they're weird to us. Some of those weird ideas are just weird and need to be thrown away. And the Word will help us get there. All right. Let's start this imitate section. We'll finish up next week what we don't finish. All right. Ooh, I hate that word, don't you?
No.
I hate that word too. There's a quote, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, that said in 5 years I can predict where you are by two things, the books you read and who you walk with. Tell you what, there's a lot of truth to that. And one of those people that I want you to walk with, as we just said, is the Father God. When you walk with Him, learn to hear His voice, you will start imitating Him. He will rub off on you.
Yes.
And I can tell very quickly who you're walking around and letting influence by your behavior.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's just such this fine line here. We don't obey to get brownie points, but the Lord does want to change us to look like Him. He's not just going to marry anybody, okay? It's a bride that knows His voice, that's dressed in white. So we just have to walk through this. But there is a strain of Christianity that's going in the West now that downplays sin, that downplays obedience, that basically whatever you can do, you're going to get away with it. The extreme form is universalism, which believes there's no hell, that everybody's going to end up in heaven sometime. That's just not true. This message is not on that. In the growth journey, one of the core lessons is all about there's a heaven and hell. There is a hell.
Amen. There is.
And it's for those that don't take advantage of the opportunity that's given to them now to walk with Him and have Him blot out our sins. So obedience is a big deal. And in this area, sometimes, because it's more traditional area, we often think just praying a prayer is enough. It's not. He's wanting converts who are disciples, who are passionate or burning, that live for Him, that follow Him. And there's a phrase in the Scriptures of servant. But there's also one called bondservant. Have you ever studied what a bondservant is? A bondservant, there's slaves in the Scripture, which are slaves. They didn't have any choice. But a bondservant is somebody that voluntarily, for the rest of their lives, gave all their possessions and money and schedule and time to their master. And Paul said, I want you to be bondservants to Jesus Christ. To give all your possessions, your relationships, and your money to Him. And I tell you, that's not an easy thing to do on a regular basis. John 3:30 says, He must become greater, I must become less. And it just is such a strange paradox. There are so many strange things in Jesus' parables that goes against our earthly principles. And one of these is to drop, I probably should put die there, drop or die to your own agendas. And then this is what happens. We go, well, I don't want his agendas. But it's more complicated than that. You were created before the foundation of the world. You got your physical DNA. Like, we'll pick on Abigail here. Not as much now, but when she was younger, we really looked a lot like. I mean, we still do if we stand beside. She's pretty, I'm not. But besides that, it's cool. So she got our physical DNA, but she, all of us, also got our spiritual DNA. And so this is what happens. This is why it's so strange. It starts moving into identity some. When he asks us to drop something, maybe we've lived with this goal or dream or this vision for our entire life. But the reason he's asking you to drop it, it seems good to you, and it is good, maybe. But that's not how you were created. And he's wanting you to drop that desire and agenda to show you the desire and agenda he put in you from the foundation of the world. And you're going to like that one better once you survive the drop.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You get that? You were created not just physically. You were created, as I've said before, Ephesians 2:10. You were prepared beforehand with good works that you shall walk in these. That includes agendas and desires and dreams. And what I found is when he's asked me to drop something, no matter how painful it was or how much it was something that was added since I was born, either from somebody else or something I saw on TV or just some desire. And he's got that masks or covers over what he put there. And when I remove that and survive it and get through it, I go, oh, this is better.
Yes.
How many of you can identify with that?
Yes, sir.
It is so true.
It is.
I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. At 23, when I graduated from college at Georgia Tech, I was an engineer. I wanted to go to Bible college. He said no. All right, go to Georgia Tech. Got my bachelor's of industrial engineering. Then I want to go to Dallas Theological Seminary. He said no. What's wrong with going to seminary? He said no. It was painful. I dropped it, really, because I didn't have any money to go. But that's another reason. Sometimes he uses doors and circumstances. My parents said, we ain't paying for it. You got to learn to pay attention to the voice of God wherever it comes from. Many years later, I get Spirit-filled. Now we're in a Spirit-filled church, and the Lord, you know, showed me many years later. He said, if you had gone to Dallas Theological Seminary, it's one of the preeminent seminaries in the country, speaking against the gift, saying it wasn't for today. He said, if you had gone there, you would have never ended up as a pastor in a Spirit-filled church because it would have put so many strongholds in you, I couldn't have gotten through.
Whoa. Amen. Hallelujah.
Whoa. This is better.
Yes.
But
hallelujah.
That was painful.
That's right.
Many years of wondering. See where we're going with this?
Yes.
Even Jesus had to learn obedience. This is something, I don't know if I've ever gotten to the place that I'm going, Yahoo! What do I get to obey today? I can't say I've ever done that. When he's asked me to do something, I've done rejoice in the Lord always. But most of the time I was doing it because I was ordered to, you know what I'm saying? It was the only way to get through it. I can't really say it was just like, oh, wow, I can't wait to rip up my life and change it and do something different. If you're there, praise God. Come lay hands on me and pass it on. It's just something about human nature there. Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who copy him. I'm not under no illusions that my obedience is going to make me perfect and become the salvation of the world. But I will guarantee you, your obedience does open up doors to influence other people to be more like the Lord in whatever area of ministry that you're at. And you do become more perfect. Your obedience is not just for you and His relationship. It's for you and how you influence others around you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a big deal. You know, in America, we like the whole pull yourself up by bootstraps and we're an island and whatever Frank Sinatra. What Frank Sinatra
say? My way.
My way. You know, it's just not biblical. You can say that all day long, but you affect other people. It's like a pebble. When you throw that pebble in, it just has these ripples that's going out. And so this is what I'm going to say. And then we've run out of time here. We changed that clock back there, and I can't even see the arms. That's why I keep looking at my watch. The other one didn't keep up with daylight savings time. It's one of those atomic clocks and that's supposed to adjust the time. It went to noon, so I don't know what happened with that clock. And Lynette was nice enough to put another one back there, but my old man eyes, it ain't working. So next week, there's probably going to be one about this big that I go to Kmart and find the biggest one that I can find, put back there. Again, I get a little red digital readout one back there. Obedience. This is what I'm going to say about obedience. Two things. One, just obey as fast as possible. Just say yes and get it over with, okay? If you draw it out, it just gets harder and harder and harder. Have you ever seen somebody that won't forgive somebody? You know, 6 months later, they're starting to get hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It gets worse.
And you don't even want to be around them.
No.
Right.
No.
6 years later, it's probably moved into bitterness.
Oh, that's right.
And you get around them and you go, dude, this is a rock.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a good rock.
That's right.
It's walls.
Yeah.
The same thing happens when you don't obey.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You wait 6 years. Oh, my gosh. It's just hard to say yes. You've set up so many habits and so many patterns. You sort of want to, but you don't know how to get back. I had somebody come to me this week. I was really surprised. I sort of hated to see this. You know, some people, when they come to you, you sort of hate to see them coming because it's usually negative, and you sort of gird up on the inside to put up these little walls, and you're going, all right, I'm feeling good. Let's go with this, man. Here they come. You're going, I can't believe you said that. Listen, I'm a person just like the rest of you, man. I just happen to teach at the same time. So anyway, this person came, and I'm praying on the inside. You know, ready to. It's usually not a great experience.
Wow.
And they came to me. I can't go into the details, but they came to me many, many years ago. They walked away from their gift and walked away from the Lord because it just wasn't, it was hard. Yeah, I mean, you know, the devil, see, this is the problem. The same time God asks you to do something, the devil always brings something in that looks like God, and it's an easy way out. You go, I must have heard wrong. Let's go this direction.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you're quiet, you know that's not really God. But that looks so good. Listen, if it's against the Word, that's the devil coming as an angel of light to not get you to say yes over here.
That's right. Amen.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So this person came, make a long story short, many, many years, came to me and basically said, is there any hope for me? Can I come back? I said, your gift never dies.
Right.
And I said, if you continue to run, you're going to be miserable. And they said, I'm miserable. There's no life. Help me get back.
Oh, hallelujah.
Which is great.
Yes.
But we've also lost many, many years here.
That's right.
Now the Lord can make it up quickly, and He will. So this is my answer. When He asks you to do something, don't try to figure it out. You're going to think of all the consequences, and they're there. Just say yes and worry about that stuff later.
Amen.
Get the yes out of the way. Just say yes. I'm a bondservant. You tell me where to go. You tell me how to go. We'll work out the details.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Let me read this. Luke 8, 4 through 8. I'm going to summarize. This is the parable with the seed and the sower, where Jesus, the farmer was throwing seed on the soil. Some of the soil grew. I mean, some of it was rocky, some of it was not so rocky, some of it grew, some of it didn't grow. This is the thing. Obedience is like that seed. He's always throwing seeds out.
Hallelujah.
He's always speaking to us.
Yes.
Good. When I make it sound like He's always asking us to do hard stuff, that's a small part of it. Most of it's just a relationship. But He's always throwing seed out. The soil is your heart. Let me go ahead and read this anyway. As He was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. That's where we don't guard our heart and we just, oh, I'll get to it later. It's going to go. Somebody's going to eat it. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. No watering of the Holy Spirit. When you get to develop a relationship with the Lord and hear His Word, you have to steward it. It doesn't just happen. With your kids, with your co-workers, with your spouse, you have to steward that relationship. It doesn't just happen. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it, choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, a good heart. It came up and yielded a crop. Listen, notice, all hearts / soil get seeds. That's the goodness of our God. He's constantly speaking. He's constantly speaking to those that have been years ago walked away from their gift or from you.
Yes.
Why did some get it and some didn't? It's how you receive and steward His voice. Now, this is the cool thing. Is in that seed is the capacity for everything to come to completion. In that seed, if it's an oak tree, then an oak tree is in that seed. If it's corn, the oak tree, the corn is in that seed. Well, how do I make this practical here? In the voice of the Lord, whatever He's asking you to do or whatever relationship's going on, is the as we steward that still small voice, is the capacity for a harvest.
Yes.
But you don't see it until you act on that simple word. He, for instance, I'm trying to think of some examples, but how many times has He given you words and you didn't really know where they were going to go? You act on it anyway.
Yes, sir.
And as you move and grow and water it and don't forget it and involve in it, it'll grow into something great and be a great harvest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Many people go, well, I heard the Lord say this and that, and it never came about. Well, what did you do about it? Did you pray about it? Did you ask Him about it? Did you follow? No, I just didn't think it was good, sort of just threw it away. No matter how big or small He speaks to you, say yes immediately and then start stewarding in it. Father, what's going on here? What do we do next? How do we do this?
Hallelujah.
That's what a disciplined follower is. And it will produce a harvest 30, 60, or 100-fold.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Let's stand. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over you. For how many of you, that family, the word about the God positioning system and about the family, you're in that now, some way, form, or another. A good portion of you. We're going to pray. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to pray, but we're going to pray. If you're there, it's to make a difference. Some of you, it may be a week. Some of you, it may be 10 years. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But there's grace and anointing for whatever it is. Because I'm telling you, He wants you, as 1 Timothy says, I pray that your soul, body and spirit prospers. Well, I didn't say that right. As your spirit prospers.
Yeah.
He wants your family to prosper too. He's into family. He's a family. There's three of them there. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And He adopted all of you. You're in His family.
Yeehaw.
And I tell you, He doesn't want His family not whole.
Amen. Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
And if you've, so whoever you have in mind, hopefully it's less than 10 people, maybe focus on one or two. We're going to pray for them. You're going to agree with me?
Yes, sir.
And we're just going to pray that if it's us, pray for yourself. Yeah. If you're the one that's being stubborn and just wanting the other person to change, but you know you want them to change before you change,
me, Lord,
so that they know that they're wrong and you're right. How many of you have ever been there? Or is it just me that has those thoughts? All right, I'll pray for myself. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you as a member of the family.
Hallelujah.
The family of God.
Yes.
We come as brothers and sisters. And even then, I'm not even sure how that works because it says there is no male or female. It's Galatians 3:29. But we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are our Father spiritually, even though we have our earthly fathers. And we say, starting with me and working out, let us walk as you walk in your family. Let it start with us. I surrender all, as they sang earlier. But Father, I pray for whatever it is you put in the blank, who, person, institution, Lord, let it be as you envisioned it to be from the foundation of the world. Maybe it's conflict-free on the outside, but it's not peace on the inside. Let us never settle for outward peace. Let us also pursue inward peace. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray, even this week, for miracles all over in people's lives that are here. I pray movement forward in Jesus' name, whatever that looks like. Father, we break strongholds that keep us wrapped around ourselves instead of decreasing so that you can increase in the circumstances. We pray for visits and encounters that break our heart to come back and restore. Hallelujah. Father, I just declare over every person here, whoever is on their, whatever person is on their heart, it's a divine thing. You've placed love inside of us. And so we love these people, even if we want to, you know, pick them up and kick them in the whatever sometimes. But we still love them. And we say, in Jesus' name, love conquers all. It conquered it with us, to bring us from the outside into the family. And we say, in Jesus' name, let your love flow through and melt the hardest ties. And we pray for whole families in Jesus' name. Amen.